the post office to ship a Bible to a mission field. And as usually they do, the clerk, the post office clerk asks her, is anything breakable in the package? And she says, only the Ten Commandments. A man comes to the police station to report a crime. He even had a suspect who broke into his house and burglarized it. So he demanded that the officer would come out right away and go and arrest the man. And while the officer was taking the report, he at some point looked at intently at his face, and then he looked at the board with all the posters there and looked at him again and on the poster again, and he says, wait a minute, that's you. And it says that there is an outstanding warrant for your arrest. The man unknowingly identified himself as a wanted criminal while he was demanding a justice for something, a crime committed against himself. Second Timothy chapter 3, 1-5 says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Knowing that this is going to happen in the last days, in fact, we already experience much of it, even today. We need to re-examine our personal lives and our attitude towards God's law. Not a single news conference or session goes by without any crime report. You know that they're filled with violence and crime reports. Things are happening in the places that we would least expect them to happen in. The most vulnerable places like schools and churches, businesses, and places for children. It is devastating how much violence and crime we're experiencing nowadays. And it is a result, as Christians we understand, of a rejection or disrespect of the law of God. Rejecting or doing away with God's law and His standards of right and wrong brings lawlessness into society. Unfortunately, even some churches teach that His commandments are no longer relevant. The scripture says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. When we reject the law of God, the standards of right and wrong, then we tend to, as human beings, tend to go by our own perception of right and wrong, which the scripture says seems to us that something is right, but can be a disaster in the end. We, as children, used to play games, and I know most of you probably would be related to that experience. I had two younger brothers and older sister, and we would play games, and in the middle of the game, suddenly sister would change the rules. When she says that it doesn't go her way, she says, oh no, we're going to play it this way now. this is the way we should play. Makes us frustrating, and after a while, it's no fun to play that game, and we say, I don't want to play this game anymore. You've been through that too. I sometimes don't like the restrictions, the speed limits, the restrictions of use of the cell phone while driving. And I'm thinking, why do we have to have all those restrictions? You know, let people use their own judgment, and if they get in trouble, then they're punishing themselves. But it doesn't work that way all the time. Sometimes our irresponsibility can hurt not only us, but others around us. I traveled to Georgia, the Caucasus, Georgia, not the state here in the United States, Georgia. And at one of the intersections, I made an effort to stop. It was a stop sign. I slowed down. I stopped, but not long enough. I have to admit, I didn't count to 1,001, 1,002. I just proceeded to go, just like others did. But the cop stopped me right there, pulled over. And while he was writing a ticket, both the cop and myself are watching the intersection, and the drivers are just going through. They're not even slowing down, not even stopping. And he's like talking to himself, what are they doing? What are they doing? And I'm saying, yeah, what are they doing? Why you stop me and giving me a ticket and you let them do this? He says, you know what? They don't know the rules, but you do. The signs are there for our safety and protection. The rules are there for our benefit. It's estimated that the society crafted over 35 million laws to control human behavior. And it doesn't seem to be very effective. However, many years ago, God gave 10 commandments, His principles, to our human society that if we would abide by, would have peace and safety and prosperity for our own personal benefit. Not self-respected society would live or function without any rules or laws. And therefore, it's not a surprise that God wants to give us certain law or rules, because the scripture says, for God is not the author of confusion. He is the God of order. Let us review the Ten Commandments that God gave us. You shall have no other gods before me. When we know and recognize that He is our Creator, why would we call someone or something else our God? It doesn't make sense when we know our parents to call someone else parents. You shall not make yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them. Unfortunately, some people would worship a piece of wood or a rock or a sun and moon and other nature images. God wants us to worship Him alone and not make ourselves idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. God's name is holy. I had an experience a few years ago. I misspelled someone's name. And that person came to me very upset. He said, so for so many years you knew me, and you still don't know how to spell my name. It was quite embarrassing. God calls for respect for His name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. He wants to spend special time with us, and He wants us to experience that rest both physically and spiritually. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's male servant or female servant, his ox, donkey, or anything that does not belong to you. Jennifer mentioned, and children admitted and actually responded, that those Ten Commandments, the law of God, was given to Moses long time ago on the Mount Sinai. However, I want to clarify that. It was not the first time God gave his law. It was the first written form that God wrote by his own finger, his own hand. It was so important. When God gave this as a reminder to the children of Israel and explained to Moses what is expected from his people. But many years ago, from the very beginning, from eternity, God's law was existing there, and it was not only for us humans, human beings. By God's law, the whole universe is functioning. The heavenly beings accepted his law and abided and still abide by his law. They have been given the choice, just like human beings, to accept it or not, to obey it or not. And because of that freedom, or I should say abusing that freedom, one of the angels, one of the most prominent angels, Lucifer, deceived others, and they disobeyed God's law, and the war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So some, a part of the angels, heavenly beings, made their choice to rebel against God's law. However, the rest of the angels and heavenly beings honored God's law, and it says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments." Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God and experienced shame, the feelings of shame and guilt, recognized the God's law. So it shows us that they had knowledge of God's law, or God's commandments. It says about Abraham that he kept God's commandments or lived by God's commandments. Years later, the Israelites were for many years in slavery, over 400 years in Egyptian slavery, and their perception of God's law diminished drastically. And that was the reason why God gave them a written form of reminder of his law. Weeks before the Sinai, when God gave the tablets of Ten Commandments to Moses, this event happens. Some of the Israelites went out on Sabbath to collect manna. And God rebuked Moses for those Israelites who disobeyed his commandment. And he says, and the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" And then people rested on the seventh day. It was weeks before, or sometime before, the Ten Commandments were given in written form to Moses on the Mount Sinai. So that shows us that Israelites, or God's people, had some kind of knowledge. They were acquainted with the law of God even before it was given to them in a written form. Jesus comes and confirms the law of God, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Some people trying to see in this as Jesus condensed the law to all 10 commandments to only 2 commandments. However, what Jesus did, he summarized the 10 commandments, emphasizing the reason behind it, or the foundation. The foundation of God's law is love. Love for God and love for men. Our love for God is expressed in putting him as number one in our lives. Our worship will be reserved for him alone when we love God. We will respect and reverence his holy name. We will be anxious to keep our appointments with him each Sabbath to have a fellowship with him. Our love for our neighbor is expressed in respect and honor of our parents, in value of life, preserving morality, respect the property of others, be honest in our relationship with each other, and not covet that which belongs to another. It is for our benefit. And God says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me or honor me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God's law is for our protection, for our safety, but also for our benefit in many different ways. It is the result of God's love for us. And the way he expresses love for us is calling us to love him back. And this is one of the ways we can show our love for God and our fellow neighbors. But there is another reason behind God's law. And it is, as Scripture says, Paul says in Romans, by the law is the knowledge of sin. I would not have known sin except through the law. Law points out sin and gives us a real view of our condition. And when we see that, we realize our need in salvation. Just think about this. If there would be no law, there would be no knowledge of sin or recognition of sin. If we don't recognize sin, then there is no need of grace. If there is no need of grace, then the cross, the death of Jesus on the cross, would be in vain. There would be no meaning in it. But if there is no cross, then that means that there will be no salvation. However, the fact is still that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin cannot be ignored, and the law of God cannot be changed. But God provides the solution to this conflict. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Knowing all this, Paul says, then what shall we do? Shall we say then that we can continue in sin, that grace may abound? And he answers, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Sometimes we feel that it is a burden. The law is a burden. It's a difficult to keep God's commandments. We think that it is quenching on our freedom. But we have the greatest example in Jesus, who, if he would wish, could have listened to his human nature and walk away from his mission. But in that Garden of Gethsemane, he submitted himself to his Father's will and was faithful to the commitment he made to save his creation. And by this, he shows us an example that he can give us strength to abide but his commandments. When we think that our burdens are heavy, when our cross is heavy, think of him. He carried the cross on our behalf. But he also promises to us that he will make it easier. He says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. When these standards of right and wrong are written on our hearts and minds, they become a part of our life, of our nature. And it's no longer a burden to keep them, but it's expression of our love for God and one another. He expressed his love for us on the cross. He gave the most precious thing that we have, his life. And today, he's appealing to you and me. If you love me, keep my commandments. This morning, I would like to give you an opportunity to re-examine your life, your spiritual condition. I'm not calling for confessions before the church or one another, but I want you to open your heart before God and allow him to show you your true condition and the need of things that need to be changed in your life. You might have a knowledge of the law of God. You might know all these Ten Commandments by heart. We sometimes don't have strength to abide by the law of God. And sometimes we tend to commit sin, either against God or against one another. And this is the time that I would like to offer you to allow God to write those standards of right and wrong in your hearts and minds and make your commitment to his cause and recommit yourself and your lives to his service once again this morning. As we will be singing the closing hymn, if you feel compelled by the law of God and you want to renew your relationship with God or one another, you can come forward or just raise your hand wherever you are and invite the Lord to come and live in your hearts through his Holy Spirit and make the law of God a part of your life, of your being, so we would be able to represent him in the right way in the community around us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us about the importance of your law, which is out there for our benefit, for our safety and our protection, but also as a reminder of your love for us, compelling us to respond to your love by loving you and one another. Lord, many of us had knowledge of your law for many years, but living in this environment, we are sinful in our nature. And there are times when we wish to do better. We ask you this morning to write your standards of right and wrong on our hearts and our minds, and give us strength to live by your law, so that we would be fit for your kingdom. Your law cannot be changed. You're coming soon to establish your kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. And we want to be in your kingdom. Cleanse us from within and help us to share your love with others around us and be an example of people who abide by your laws. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.